many fold. And one of those responsibilities is one that is supposed to give encouragement in days that are dark. And these days, our own president has admitted, we are in a recession. We have seen things and are seeing things in our country financially that we have not seen since the days of the Depression, many years ago when I was just a little boy. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on this subject, a laughing and a singing God. A laughing and a singing God. You need not turn to it, but I'm going to read two verses we read a while ago. Zephaniah 3:14 says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." Now, that verse was written in one of the darkest days, if not the darkest day, of all of the history of the nation of Israel. And God says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice." And down in verse 17, there's an interesting statement. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Now listen, to me, I never associate singing with the Lord. I mean, I just somehow think, we sing, but the Bible says that God will rejoice over us with singing. And I've been trying to wonder this week what God sings. You know, what kind of a song does he sing? And I'm not sure I know yet, but I'm like the little girl who drew a picture of God. And her mother said, "What is that?" She said, "It's a picture of God." And her mother said, "Honey, nobody knows what God looks like." And the little girl said, "They will now." And so, now then, nobody knows what God sings, but you will after a while, because I'm going to show you what God sings. You know, it's a wonderful and marvelous thing how Christians can rejoice even when things aren't going too well. And so many sweet things. A little lady walked up a while ago, and I laughed walking in the pulpit, in the door. I laughed in my soul. Little lady walked up, and she wanted to be kind to me. And she said, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "Who?" And she said, "She's an adult lady, too. I mean, a middle-aged lady." She said, "I'm the one who likes your preaching." Now, that's one of the most backhanded compliments I ever had in my life. "I'm the one who likes your preaching." And I've always wanted to find somebody who liked my preaching. Oh, shut up. As I walked in, I was chuckling in my heart about the one that likes my preaching. And but you know, there's always a song in the child of God if he's in the will of God and if he loves God. And the Bible speaks about the songs in the night. They sang about it a while ago. The songs in the night. And so today, I want to try to encourage your heart to let you know that God is still on his throne. Everything's all right. And occasionally, I think we ought to just stop and realize that God has not got the flu and his temperature is normal. And he still owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I bet you wish he'd ship you one or two of them. But the gold and the silver are his. And I bet you wish he'd share a little bit. But he's still able. "'Tis the grandest theme on the mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee." And so this morning, ever so briefly, I want to talk to you on a laughing and singing God. Now, Father, bless the message to our hearts as we take these few moments to think of this encouragement in the dark days of Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a terrible time in the life of Israel. Moral decay was the thing of the hour. Nebuchadnezzar was preparing to invade Israel and Judah and take them away to slavery, where they spent over 70 years in slavery and bondage. Zephaniah, during the three small chapters of his prophecy, preaches judgment over and over again. You see, Zephaniah was a contemporary of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a weeping prophet who prophesied judgment and then who watched the people as they were taken into captivity and watched the land ravished. Soon their houses will be leveled to the ground. Soon their beloved temple will be completely destroyed. Soon the judging hand of God and the sickle of God's wrath will be thrust into the nation Israel, and the time of sorrow and suffering, the lack of which they had never known, was soon to come. Now with this dark shadow of coming from this gloomy cloud hanging over them, Zephaniah closes his book with a startling statement when he says, Sing, O daughter of Zion. What do you mean, sing? Good night, our home is about to be destroyed. Sing, O daughter of Zion. What do you mean, sing? We're about to be taken away from our homeland. But sing, O daughter of Zion. What do you mean, sing? We're about to see our temple destroyed. But sing, O daughter of Zion. What do you mean, sing? It's soon our families will be taken, our children taken. Sing! Ah, the child of God always has a song in his heart, or always can have a song in his heart. And the Lord reminds them that God is rejoicing and singing. He is telling us that our rejoicing should not be caused or stopped by external conditions. Now listen to me. Listen. You are not supposed to be happy when things are going good and sad when things are going bad. The child of God is supposed to be happy all the time. When things are going good, when things are going bad, we're supposed to have a song in our heart. Say, I travel every week somewhere. I spend, I spend 80 hours a week working here, and then I spend hours working for here when I'm gone, but every week I travel somewhere. And I preach to different groups. Do you know who the happiest Christians I've seen in the last year? You know who they are? I've preached in some pretty flusy churches in the last year. I've preached in churches that had indoor toilets and everything, all those modern conveniences. And I've preached in some pretty affluent people in the last year. Happiest Christians I've seen in the last year were down in a little hovel of a neighborhood in Monterrey, Mexico, where they had no indoor toilets, no electric lights, and just little boxes that were made into houses, not big enough, tall enough, for you to stand up in when you walk in, and poverty abounding everywhere, and unbelievable need. And yet those little people came to a little simple church building, had no piano. They used an accordion for the music, and they came to that church building, and there, you never saw so many happy folks in my life. I'm saying you don't have to have something a lot to be happy. You can be happy because of what's on the inside and not what's on the outside. You see, Jesus said, rejoice not in the fact that the demons or devils are subject to you. He said, rejoice in the fact that your name's written in heaven. Why did he say that? Because the day may come when the demons aren't subject to you. But the day will never come when your names are not written in heaven. The day will come. He said, if you rejoice in a new house, the new house may be lost. But if you rejoice because of a home eternal in the heavens, you will never lose that home eternal in the heavens. If you rejoice in friends' applause, you may lose that applause and lose your rejoicing. But if you rejoice in the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he will always stick closer than a brother. If you rejoice in money and land and possessions, then you will someday could lose that money and land and possessions. But if you rejoice in the fact that this is the eternal Word of God, you will always rejoice because this is always the eternal Word of God. Now what God is saying is this. God is saying rejoice in that which never changes. Heaven may pass away, and earth may pass away, but the Word of God endureth forever. And God is saying, rejoice in that which cannot be taken away. If you rejoice in health and pleasure and fame, then that health may be taken, and the pleasure may be taken, and the fame may be taken. But blessed be God, if you rejoice in eternal salvation, you're rejoicing in something that can never be taken away. This is why Paul and Silas could sing and praise God in prison at midnight. This is why Jesus could sing in the upper room when Gethsemane and Calvary was just before him. I'm not interested in a Christianity where everybody is on top of the world when you got a job and down underneath when you have no job. Let me tell you something, folks. If you ever need to rejoice in your life, it's when you're unemployed. If you ever need to rejoice in your life, it's when things are not going well. Ah, let me tell you, the happiest I've ever seen in America was not in the 1960s, and everybody had a lot. Was not in the 1970s, everybody had a lot. The happiest America I've ever seen was during the Depression days. Why? Because the people were happy in the Lord, not happy in a few things. Oh, we're so wrapped up in houses and carpets and drapes and cars and clothes and things and jobs and money. Ah, let me tell you, folks, there's a joy that poverty cannot take away. And there's a joy that loss, personal loss, cannot take away. And I'm saying, and God is saying, He says here to these people of Israel and Judah, He says, I know that Nebuchadnezzar's on the way. And I know that judgment's going to come. And I know that the heartache is here. And I know that the clouds of adversity are hanging low. And I know your houses are about to be leveled. And your temple's about to be destroyed. But He said, rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Rejoice, O Israel. And then I want you to notice something real sweet. God makes an unusual suggestion. I want this microphone right here, if you can turn that on for me, please. Attaboy. Just leave it on there. And God makes an unusual suggestion. And I'm about to show you something so sweet that if you are asleep, you're going to enjoy this and you're going to rejoice. And if you are an Episcopalian, you are just about to say amen in a few minutes. But I'm going to show you something. God says, okay, let's do something. I know what let's do. And God makes an unusual suggestion. So God draws a little circle, or a circle, like this. He draws a circle. Don't get in the way of God's circle. And God draws a circle. And then God says this. God says, okay, Christians, you get in the middle of that circle and jump up and down for joy. Okay, now let's see. Brother Ray, you're in pretty good shape. You get in the middle of the circle right here and jump up and down with joy. Okay, clap your hands. Let's see what the Bible says. Hold it a minute. The Bible says, I think it says, here it is right here. It says, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice. But now, wait a minute. Down in verse 17 it says, the Lord will rejoice. And do you know those two words, rejoice, are different type words? The first word, rejoice, when we're supposed to rejoice, means jump up and down and clap your hands. But the word where God rejoices means running around in a circle and clapping your hands and singing, you see. Okay, Brother Ray, I want you to jump down and clap your hands. And God said, okay, you jump down. That's it. Not quite that much because you've got to keep doing it for quite a while. You see, sort of like this, you know, like whoopee, 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 like that. All right? So here's what the Scripture teaches. God said in verse number 14, God said, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart. And He's talking to His people now. He says, okay, the storm clouds are mighty low. But He said, jump up and down, clap your hands and sing and rejoice. Okay, He said, you may be unemployed. Jump up and down, clap your hands and rejoice. That's what He said. And God said, while you are jumping up and down inside the circle, I'll be running around the circle and singing. And that's what God says. And so you jump up, down, clap your hands, and rejoice. And you're a man, I'm God. Okay, we'll do it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what it is. You see, God says, look, I'm going to go around you, and I'm going to rejoice with you, and I'm going to sing with you. And God says, you just get inside the circle. I'll be running, walking guard. No, I'll be running guard around you, you see. God's not just walking guard. God is running guard. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place, the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that love Him, and round about them. And so our God sings and rejoices. And while we sing in the circle of His protection, He sings as He protects us. Hey, it's Christmas morning. And I don't know His name, but He's fat and wears a red suit. And always passes our house. But it's Christmas morning. And the children come down, and there's the Christmas tree, and there are the presents and the nuts. I don't mean mother and dad. And the nuts and the fruit. I'm not going to sing about that. But and the fruit and the nuts and the presents and the children say, oh, goody, 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 goody. What does dad do? Ah, Dad rejoices that he was able to provide for his children once again. There's no better joy than that. And as the children dance in joy because they have been provided for, the dad in his heart leaps with joy because he has provided for them. And the Bible teaches that just as we leap with joy because of God's provision for us, even so God leaps with joy because God wants to provide for us. And so God said to Israel, bad day's coming? Okay, sing. Jump down, clap your hands, and rejoice. And God says, I'll be walking. And that's the way it is. Thank you very much. Did you know that my God today is up there in heaven singing? You say, wait a minute, preacher. You mean, God is a fallen God. You got the wrong God. God is a God of judgment. God is a God of righteousness. And God is a God of holiness. But if you think God, if you think when Brother Colston pulled the boo-boo of the century one Sunday night in the baptistry, if you think God didn't laugh about that, you got another thing coming. I think God said, oh, he did it again. Sure. He draws a circle. He says, you get in it and shout and jump up and down for joy. I'll run. Now picture it. What is God saying? Okay. We sing, we dance in the circle and sing, everything's all right in my Father's house. And God says, yes, everything's all right in your Father's house. We sing, safe am I, and God says, safe are you. And he sings, yes, he does. He runs around the circle and he protects us and he rejoices and he sings. We sing, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And God sings, yes, I know the way through the wilderness. We sing, I was sinking deep in sin. Let me sing, love lifted. And God sings, Jack trusted me. When nothing else could help, Jack trusted me. Yeah, he sings. Sure he does. If you think I'm going to spend eternity and not laugh, you've got another thing coming. It wouldn't be heaven. Now, I'm not saying God's giddish, and I'm not saying that God is frivolous, but I'm saying that our God is a well-rounded personality. And, for example, it says in Psalm 2 and verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. In Psalm 37:13, it says the Lord shall laugh. In Psalm 59 verse 8, it says, but thou, O Lord, shall laugh. In Proverbs 1:26, it says, I will laugh. And I especially like this one. Now, on Jude 24, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, there's no way you can study it in the Greek without finding that those words, exceeding joy, mean jump up and down and clap your hands. It's the same statement that God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. And so, when it says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What does it mean? It means someday God's going to take you and present you before the heavenly... Jesus is going to take you and present you before the heavenly Father, and he's going to say, Father, these are my children. And that's what he's talking about. Oh, yes, sir. Oh, it's not the way God is. No, God's not like you sourpusses. He's not like that. You deadheads. God's not like you. God's happier than you are, and God delights... You recall in Luke chapter 15, verses 7 and 10, on two occasions it says, there's joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. And one place it says, there's more joy in the presence of the angels in heaven than over one sinner that repents, over 99 just persons that need no repentance. What is it saying? It's air for the house. When somebody gets saved, the angels rejoice. It doesn't say that. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. Okay? Who's in the presence of the angels? God the Father is. When a person comes to Christ, when some little poor bus kid or some mission man or some deaf one or some blind one or some just anybody comes down the aisle receiving Christ as Savior, there's joy in the presence of the angels. Our God gets happy. And hallelujah. Ooh, glory. God says, my child is coming to me. You say, prove it. Okay. Remember what God used as an illustration? Of his joy when a person gets saved, huh? when a boy comes back home, who's run off from home, the prodigal son came back home. Now let me ask you a question. If your boy ran off from home and was gone a long time and went to sin and came back, when he came back home, what would you do? Huh? You'd say, holy, 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 my boy, 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 boy. How happy I am to see you here. My joy is full. I'm glad you're back. Oh, no, no. Oh, if you saw him coming, you'd take off running and you'd say, oh, that's my boy. That's my boy. And God said, that's the closest I can tell you to how happy I am when one sinner comes to me. And God says, I want you to know I'm a happy God. I'm a laughing God. And I'm a singing God. You know, I wouldn't have missed my life for the world. I'm glad I got to live the kind of life I got to live. I'm glad I got to see how God provides in depression days. You've heard me say this. I'm glad I got to see my mother set the table with what few dishes we had, with not one bite of food in the house, not one bite of food on the table. I'm glad I've seen my mother set an empty table with nothing to eat and bow her head and thank God for the food we didn't have. And I'm glad, as a boy, I got to hear somebody knock on the door time and time again. And they said, we got some food for the poor Howells family. And my mother, while she was praying, thanking God for the food. Now, I'll tell you something, folks. It's time that we prove there's a God in heaven. Oh, you say, preacher, everything is falling apart. Well, we got a God that's to put her back together. Oh, the day is the dark. My Bible said that Jesus is the light of the world. I'm a little weary of people thinking when they don't have anything, those are bad days. I'm a little tired of folks thinking when we don't know what bad is. Let me tell you what good is. I hold in my hand a note. Where are the Stillers this morning? Is Carol back there with you? Stand up on the seat there, Carol. Now look at her. Carol has asthma, right? She's one has asthma. That little girl has asthma, and she was off for the night, and she was breathing. You could hear that wheeze as she had asthma. But I want to tell you something. I got this note from our ladies. When I dropped off my boy at the Stillers this morning, Sandy Stiller shared this with me. I think you'll enjoy it. After the Bible study last night, I've been teaching on getting your prayers answered. Carol Stiller told her mother that a Reese's peanut butter cup would sure taste good. Right, Carol? And Carol, has not had much appetite lately. But anybody that doesn't have an appetite for Reese's peanut butter cup is not saved. And so, Carol, this little girl hadn't had to eat much, but finally something sounded good to her, and she said, Mother, a Reese's peanut butter cup would sound good. She's had some awful bouts with asthma and normally has no appetite for anything, much less something rich and sweet. So Mrs. Stiller told her daughter that she'd get her one while grocery shopping. But that little girl right there said, No, Mommy, I want to pray for one. I'd like one sooner than you'll be able to get it. And so before bed, Carol prayed for a Reese's peanut butter cup. Wasn't long till a man came by who rides to Howells Anderson College with Brother Stiller. He walked in the Stiller saying he had a treat for each one of the kids. When he heard Carol was having to stay home because of her asthma, he said, Well, then Carol gets the special treat. What was the treat? A Reese's peanut butter cup. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Carol. Now I'm asking a question. I've got Reese's peanut butter cups in my attic. Our house is insulated with Reese's peanut butter cups. Halloween is not a good week for me. If I want a Reese's peanut butter cup, I can have one anytime I want it. But now, wait a minute. I ate a Reese's peanut butter cup the same day Carol did. Who do you think enjoyed it the most? The fellow who had all he wanted of them and more? Or the little girl that would like to have one? And she prayed and got it from Jesus. Huh? there is a certain hue about God in times of adversity that you'll never see in times of goodness and prosperity. I meet with all kinds of people. I get all kinds of letters. Now, I tell you, the happiest folks that come in my office. A little mother comes in. She says, I have a daughter, and my husband's gone, and I have to rear my daughter by myself. I don't have any place to stay. Well, how are you going to make it? Oh, well, I'll get a job. And I will make it all right. And so we find an apartment for her to live, And we round up some secondhand furniture somewhere. And we send her some food from the church occasionally. But I never hear her complain. You know who gripes? Folks that have everything. I'll tell you what. I just don't like what's going on. Poor nut. I think it'd do us all good, lose everything we have, and then find out there's a God in heaven. There's a little lady sitting right here in this room this morning who has, I think, two children. She has no job. She has no husband with her. Sometime tomorrow, we'll find her a place to live and figure out some way to keep the kids fed. I mean, I live like this. Every once in a while when somebody says, well, we just don't have a pastor here, I'd like to show you all a pastor, and I do. I'd like to show you all the hours and hours and hours that I spend. And it's hard for me to comprehend. I've never heard a word of complaint from this little gal. She doesn't know where she and her children will sleep tomorrow night. She's in this room today. But I'll find you one thing. Those little children are going to find out there's a God in heaven. They're going to find out there's a God. I know the days are tough. I know that dozens of you are unemployed. And my heart goes out to you. But you keep on singing. He's still singing. Jump up and down and clap your hands. Oh, but you say Israel, sing. But look, the armies of Nebuchadnezzar are on their way right now. But sing, Israel, sing. But our homes are leveled and our temple destroyed. But sing, Israel, sing and shout. And God joins in. Oh, listen, everything's going to be all right. It may not be that you'll have whipped cream on top of your banana pudding. It may be that the pie may be like the one that was slid under my door on my birthday. Quite often it happens, but a mother made a mistake of asking the little girl to put the pie under my, or give him the pie, so she slid it under the door. That is, all but the meringue came under the door. And it may be that it's not all like you wish it were. But we don't have anything to complain about. We still have salvation. You know, I hate to bring this up. It's a horrible illustration. Because I'm disgusted with the Chicago Bears. I'm going to move to Pittsburgh or somewhere. But I'm disgusted with the Chicago Bears. But you know, the coach of that team said something the other day that I liked. I don't think he's much coach. But the only fellow I know that could really coach that team right is busy pastoring a big church and hadn't got time to do it. Who's that? That's the illustration. Gripe, 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 gripe. But he's had the pressure on him. And the press has been after him. Folks wanting to resign. Bumper stickers out. And buttons out. Get rid of Armstrong. Somebody asked the coach the other day. He said, said, what's it doing for you? And in his southern drawl, he said, well, I still have my health. I'm a pretty lucky man. I still live in America, and I'm still free to go and come as I please. I guess I've got an awful lot to be thankful for. And I guess you do too. And I guess, though come what may, he's still your heavenly Father. I could sing, I'd sing, I'd trust in God. I know he cares for me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And there's a wonderful heavenly Father in heaven today that walks around you. No, he runs around you and sings. And it is his responsibility to see you're cared for. Let me ask you a question. What difference does it make whether he gives it to you a month at a time and you store it, or a year at a time and you store it, or a bite at a time and you eat it? If he gives it to you a bite at a time, think of all the storage space that saves you. See? So it doesn't matter. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. And so you just trust him. You just trust him and rejoice and join in as he sings with you. Our Heavenly Father in